The NFL in Week 7, college football on Saturday, a couple of playoff baseball games over the weekend. But last night, you had a historic swing of the century from George Springer. You had the Lions bouncing back and dominating the Buccaneers. You had just a terribly tragic injury to Mike Evans. Looks like he's done for the year. The broken collarbone. And then you had one of the worst offensive performances I've seen in a long time from the Texans as the Seahawks dominate. The final score doesn't even do it justice. They beat the Texans 27-19. Lions extend their streak 51 straight games without losing consecutive contests. They're now 5-2. Buccaneers are 5-2. Seahawks are 5-2. Mike McDonald's got a hell of a squad and a hell of a defense. And the Texans are 2-4. And Daniel Jones and the Colts still reigning supreme, now by an even larger margin atop the AFC South. So a lot that we have gotten into, a lot that we're going to get into again here. Phone number to join the show, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. And we got the Triple P, which I haven't mentioned on the air, but it's been on my Twitter since the start of the show. Who's Pat's primetime player? Who had the best performance in the world of sports last night? I normally give you four options, and you can vote at my Twitter, at PatBoyle44. I only gave you three, because I thought I wouldn't be doing the Triple P justice if I tried to give you four options. And no disrespect to the NHL, but none of those performances in hockey last night could even compare to the performances that we saw last night on the gridiron, and that of George Springer. He's option number one, the three-run home run in the seventh inning, the biggest swing for a Blue Jays player in 32 years, sends Toronto to the World Series. He's option number one. And as you can guess, he's been dominating the Triple P so far, 61% of the vote. Option number two, Jahmyr Gibbs, a career-high 218 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns in the Lions' win over the Buccaneers. Jahmyr Gibbs in second place right now with 36% of the vote. And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba of the Seahawks, 8 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown, fully cementing himself as one of the top five receivers in the NFL. He's only got 3% of the vote. So I know a lot of Lions fans voting for Jahmyr Gibbs, but that one swing from George Springer is probably going to get him the champion of Pat's primetime player, but there still is time to vote. So get to my Twitter at PatBoyle44 and get your vote known. But I said it to start the show. That's the swing of the century for George Springer. There hasn't been a bigger moment in Blue Jays franchise history since Joe Carter's walk-off home run in Game 6 of the 1993 World Series to win the title and help the Blue Jays go back-to-back when they beat the Phillies because of that three-run walk-off bomb from Joe Carter. Jose Bautista's Game 5 ALDS home run in 2015 was a massive one. Edwin Encarnacion's big home run in the 2016 wildcard game were all big moments. But in the last 32 years, there has not been a bigger moment than what George Springer did last night. And we had wall-to-wall phone calls for the entire first hour plus of the show. Blue Jays fans calling in euphoria. It was honestly tremendous to hear. And we had a couple of sad Mariners fans, which we gave them their time to vent, and you can do that if you want. But George Springer, I mean, just cementing that he is one of the great postseason players of all time. 23 home runs in the postseason for his career. That's tied for the third most in Major League Baseball history. 47 RBIs. He's only played in 78 postseason, well, not only, but he's played in 78 postseason games in his career. And so Springer, you map that out over a full season of what he's done just in October. It's a season where he hits 46 home runs and has almost 100 RBIs. And he has done that in the biggest games of his life. And Vladdy, who gets ALCS MVP, carried this offense throughout October. Andrés Giménez had a couple of heroic moments in this series. Ernie Clement's been a hitting machine. And they've gotten big-time pitching performances when they needed it most desperately from Shane Bieber, from Max Scherzer. But when all hope seemed lost, when the faith was dwindling down to the reserves, when the tank was on empty, down 3-1 in the seventh inning, George Springer met the moment. And it is a moment that will live on for the rest of time for the Toronto Blue Jays, even if they lose this World Series. And I'm picking them to win in seven. I'm picking the Blue Jays to beat the Dodgers in seven. I know how dynastic the Dodgers look. I know they got Ohtani. I know Blake Snell can't get touched right now, and Yamamoto has been unbelievable. But if there is one team where we normally say in baseball, pitching wins your championships, if there's one offense that can neutralize the incredible pitching staff of the LA Dodgers, it is what the Blue Jays offense has done all throughout the season and all in October. With how little they strike out and how consistently they make hard contact, the Blue Jays are an equal adversary of the LA Dodgers. And so it is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait for Friday. But George Springer was, I mean, out of words for that swing, how loud that stadium sounded. And there's probably Blue Jays fans still out partying right now from the night before, from last night. And you should be partying all the way till Friday. But just as equally euphoric and electric and historic as that moment was for George Springer and the Blue Jays, is as equally heartbreaking and soul-crushing and regretful of a moment it is for Mariners manager Dan Wilson. Because the decision to bring in Edward Bizzardo there was the wrong move. It was the wrong move, and no circumstance should he have brought him in. There is no tomorrow. You're not playing, even if you win, you're not playing till Friday. You got to fire every big and best bullet you've got in your chamber. And so runners on second and third in a 3-1 game in the bottom of the seventh with the top of the order coming up. If you're going to pull Brian Wu, who was pitching really great until he hit, started the inning with a leadoff walk, which is the cardinal sin in baseball. If you're going to pull Brian Wu, how do you not go to your closer? How do you not put Andrés Muñoz in the game, who had not even given up a freaking hit, let alone a run, in the entire playoffs? 7 1/3 innings going into last night in this postseason. Andrés Muñoz had not given up a hit, let alone a run. And instead, Dan Wilson, not managing like it's the biggest moment of the game, like your season is hinging on it, with the tying run in scoring position, he goes to Bizzardo, who lays a fat fastball right over the middle of the plate, and Springer sends it 381 feet into the seats. I just don't get it. I don't get, with George Springer up and Vlad Guerrero Jr. two hitters away, that's the biggest moment of the game. How do you not go to your closer there to get those two outs and pitch the eighth inning as well? And if he was pitching well enough to then go back out for the ninth, just finish the game. It was game seven. There is no game eight. I don't know if Dan Wilson forgot. There is no game eight and there's no game nine. It was game seven. How do you not go to your closer who has been untouchable? Why are you trying to manage this like it's game 148? Why are you trying to manage this like it's game one or game two? Your closer was there. You got to go to him. I don't care what the matchup says. I don't care what the career head-to-head was. I do not care. That was quite obviously and evidently the biggest moment of the game. And he leaves his closer there for his second or even third best reliever to give up a three-run missile to the most clutch hitter on the team. One of the most clutch hitters of all time in October, and the numbers back it up. And even then, there was a chance that Vlad Guerrero Jr. would have gotten up that inning. Now, because there's a chance maybe Springer hits a sac fly and it makes it 3-2, and there's two outs and a runner on third, and then Nathan Lucas gets aboard on a walk, or he singles to tie the game, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. would have come up in that inning. There was still a chance for that to happen. and for you to still either have the lead or for the game to be tied. So I just don't understand it from Dan Wilson. I really don't. And here he was after the game on the decision to take out Wu and put in Bizzardo.
You make your decisions, and sometimes you have to live and die with it. And I think, again, the way Zardo has thrown the ball all season long, we were comfortable with where we were. And it just didn't go our way.
No, there's no rationalizing that decision. Dan Wilson's going to kick himself for the next few months. He might, that might be a nightmare in his head every night for the rest of his life. Because I would never let myself live that down. I'd never forgive myself if I made that decision. There is no rationalizing that. There just isn't. I'm sorry. He has been a phenomenal manager for them. This team felt like a team of destiny, the Mariners, when they went up 2-0 to start this series. The season that the big dumper had, and the game, he had another home run last night, and it's a shame that he's in the on-deck circle when Julio Rodriguez, J-Rod, who also hit a home run last night, and he had plenty of big moments in October, strikes out against Jeff Hoffman to end the game. Big dumper was on deck. That would have been one hell of a moment. But after the season that the Mariners fans were treated to, one win away from their first ever trip to the World Series, to be denied like that, it doesn't ruin what happened. But man, I mean, you want to talk about a sour taste, a sour ending, nightmares for the next 5.5 months. And here was Dan Wilson also after the game, proud of the team despite the loss.
There's no question that it's going to sting. But the kind of season they had, doing things that no team in this organization has ever done, and knocking on the door of a World Series, all that, it's due to how hard they've worked, how hard they've played all season long, all the times they've come back, all the times they've bounced back. It's a special team in there, it's a shame we had to come out on the wrong side of this one.
You just hear how brokenhearted he is, and I feel for him. And I know a lot of Blue Jays fans were on the exact opposite end of that when they throw in Little in Game 5 to pitch against Jeannie Suarez with the bases loaded, rather than bring in Hoffman or bring in their better arms, Sir Anthony Dominguez. And, Jeannie Suarez hits the grand slam in Game 5 that put the Mariners a win away. So it was the exact opposite feeling for John Schneider. Is the same exact feeling for John Schneider after Game 5. But he gets to now manage in a World Series, and Dan Wilson doesn't. We're going to get to the phone calls in 2 minutes, but really quickly, I want you to hear about a minute and a half of John Schneider here, who is now in the World Series with the Blue Jays, the Toronto skipper. I want you to hear from John Schneider right after the win as the Blue Jays are going back to the World Series for the first time since 93.
What does it feel like going to the World Series for the first time in 32 years?
Pretty cool. Pretty humbled to be part of it, you know what I mean? I've said it before, besides my wife and kids, this is what I pour my life into. So to be leading the team that's going back to the World Series for the first time in 32 years kind of hits me a little bit. And I couldn't be happier for every single guy on the team and in the clubhouse, not just the players, but the staff too. So we're going to enjoy tonight big time, and realize how hard it is to get here and then get back to work and get ready for the Dodgers.
Fifth row straight back, John.
Hey, John, congratulations.
Thank you.
So we've heard from you throughout the series about it's another game, do your job, all those good things. When you're a couple of outs away from elimination and then in the blink of an eye, you're leading in a couple outs away from the World Series, how hard is it to practice what you preach to just keep it steady?
Very. I've said before, I try to be purposely deliberate in what I do and what I say every day. I'm sure I was not practicing what I preach by my facial expressions in that moment. But it's really, really an amazing thing to watch these guys navigate situations. Whether it's Barge walking, Izzy grinding out a single, or George being able to slow that moment down, which he's done a million times in his career. So in the moment, really, you're not thinking about it. Honestly, I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about, are they going to play the infield in? Are they not? Are we going on contact? Are we not? Who's he bringing in to face who? What are the counter moves? So you kind of get lost in the moment a little bit. But this team, man, it's a special group.
So you could hear that he said, you know, it's hitting me a little bit now. And John Schneider is very steady. You know, you watch his facial reactions in the dugout, and he's normally pretty stoic. But his entire face turned red, and he looked like an apple after that George Springer home run. I mean, I don't know how you could collect yourself after that. Other than that, you know, he made a decision to bring in Chris Bassett right after that in the eighth, which that was a roll of the dice, and it worked. And then he brings in Hoffman in the ninth, and Hoffman strikes out the side. 888-710-4476. Let's get to your phone calls here. Israel Bentley's in Atlanta next up on the Pat Boyle Show. What's up, Israel?
Hey, nothing much, Pat. Hey, you know, every time a Florida coach gets fired, an angel gets its wings, baby.
There's a lot of angels getting their wings over the last couple of years.
Hey, being raised in Georgia and going to Florida State for grad school, and they play Georgia next week? Lord, but hey, forget about that. Listen, I'm with you on, I put my bets in. I have under future bet for Houston because Kevin Durant, I think he's only played 65 games once in the last 5 years. I've actually got the Knicks and the Hawks in the Eastern Conference. I don't know if you remember this, but like several months ago, I think during the last playoffs, we talked about it. I predicted that. Knicks, Hawks, baby.
Yes, I remember, and I like what Atlanta did this offseason, bringing in Porzingis. Along with the other moves they made, and I'm expecting Dyson Daniels to take another step forward. I think Atlanta could be really sneaky good.
I think $20 down, and I got that at $2,500 for him as defensive player of the year. You know, he was second last year. Okay.
Yep.
I got him the defensive player of the year. I got Luka at +380. I've got the Lakers at over 46.5 because that's a ridiculous number. Now they have a real center. Now with Aiden, he's got the Aiden he used to be.
I don't know if I would put real center. I put that in quotes when you're talking about DeAndre Ayton.
6 points. If he gets them 6 points and eight rebounds and 6 fouls a game, that's all they really need. He doesn't need to. He won't be in there in the last 8 minutes of the game.
I guess anybody that is actually 7 feet that can stand in front of the rim is better than what the Lakers did last year in the postseason.
Luke Longley, Bill Winnington. They just need it. They just need bodies. You feel me? Mm-hmm. They just need bodies, my brother. And as far as his World Series goes, I'm so happy that we get a chance to beat Toronto. I've hated them ever since what they did to us before Joe Carter. We talked, because remember, that back-to-back, the first one was the Braves that they beat. So I'm glad the Dodgers are going to be able to beat them in five. And I'm just glad that it's a real series because Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, has the highest batting average. And there were only seven players in the entire MLB that hit over 300, and two of them are Blue Jays, and the third, Guerrero, I think he hit 290. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be pitching against hitting, strength against strength, my brother. And
giving the Blue Jays a chance. So you say Dodgers in five.
Let me tell you something. Shohei, we got three MVPs. He's about to get his fourth. So if Mookie's, and I mean, I think what Mookie got two, if Freddie got one, that's like seven. I mean, the lineup is ridiculous, and now that Blake Snell is back.
The lineup hasn't been that good. Lineup has not been that good this postseason. And look, Shohei had one of the greatest single-game performances in the history of the sport in that closeout game in Game 4. But he hadn't hit the ball well before that. Now, again, he might just go nuclear here in the World Series because if there's any player you would bet on to do it, it would be Shohei. But the rest of that lineup hasn't been that good, man. They have relied on the starting pitching.
It's going to have to be the pitching. But as far as Shohei goes, you know, once God wakes up, everything changes, brothers.
Yeah, it's a good point, Israel, and I appreciate the call, man. I appreciate the call. I say Blue Jays in seven. Blue Jays in seven. But I do like that you think the Hawks are going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, you got Jalen Johnson also coming back from the season-ending injury he had. That guy's a walking double-double. And then you add Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Luke Kennard to that bench. I mean, they're deep. But then again, Trae Young's not a winning basketball player. So, I don't know how far they can go if you're actually going to once again rely on Trae Young to do anything in the postseason. That's a dangerous path to go down. Let's really quickly get to Brandon in Seattle here on the Pat Boyle Show. Brandon, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Pat. Well, you know, I'd be better if the Mariners won, but it is what it is.
Heartbreaking. I mean, there's no other way around it. I appreciate you actually calling in because I can imagine there's a lot of Mariners fans that either are trying to toss and turn and get to sleep right now, or, you know, maybe had a couple of extra drinks, drink the sorrows away.
Yeah, definitely. I feel bad for the Seattle Mariner fans. Obviously, it's been kind of a long haul, and you know, you're going to give your hopes up, especially when, you know, you're up two on the road, you know, just kind of a macrocosm of the microcosm of the game, you know. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're going to win, and kind of like the Seahawks, really. So, it would be nice to get over the hump eventually. But
yeah, you're thinking back, you're overthinking every single moment right now, and you had first and second. In the top of the seventh and two outs against Gausman. And you have a chance to maybe put the game away with Polanco up. And, I mean, he just kind of went cold here over these last couple of games after he had turned into an October legend in the previous series. And he just, you know, he grounds out the second to end the inning. You know, he gets a base hit. You're looking at 4-1. Maybe puts one in the gap. It's 5-1. And so then you start overthinking all the opportunities that you squandered.
Yeah, you want to at least get a sac fly out of that or something. But, yeah, the decision to go to Bizarro or something. I mean, bizarre for sure.
Good point, not go
to Munoz there, like with the season on the line. Do you think you should walk Springer with the bases, you know, with the base open to force so that the defense is confident going to whatever base to maybe get a double play?
Yeah, Brandon, I appreciate the call. I'm not walking George Springer when there's only one out. It's one thing if there was two outs and you would have walked him to try to go up against Nathan Lucas, and you know, maybe Toronto wanted to counter with a pinch hitter. I doubt it. It probably would have been Lucas against Bizzardo. If there was two outs, maybe. But the fact that there was one out, you would then have to go up against Lucas, and unless you got a double play, then you're facing Vladdy, which is not the position you'd want to be in. No, for me, you're bringing your closer. You know, Bizzardo had pitched well. He had pitched a lot in the postseason. He had already pitched not eight times. That was his ninth appearance. And he had only given up a run in two out of the eight. But, you know, again, Munoz had not given up a freaking hit. He hadn't given up a hit in the entire postseason. That's the biggest moment of the game. I just don't know how you don't go to him right there. 888-710-4ISN. Phone number to join the show. 888-710-4476. We'll continue to take your baseball calls for the final 35 minutes of the show. But I want to reset the football a little bit, and we've got some football callers on hold. So we'll get right back to your phone calls when we come back.
Who is Pat's prime time player?
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Left field and deep. A Rosarena turns. Gone! A Springer dinger, 4-3 Blue Jays in the bottom of the seventh.
Welcome back to the Pat Boyle Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Yep, George Springer, your triple P. That was the swing of the century as heard on Blue Jays radio. And George Springer, he is Pat's primetime player. 61% of the vote for that home run to go with the three RBIs. The biggest swing since Joe Carter's walk-off home run to win the second straight World Series for the Blue Jays back in 1993, and now they're going back. George Springer wins the Triple P. Second place, Jahmyr Gibbs, 37% of the vote. He would have won it on most other nights, 218 yards from scrimmage, a career high to go with two touchdowns as the Lions beat the Buccaneers 24-9. And then in third place, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who had a hell of a game. 8 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown as the Seahawks beat the Texans, and yet he only gets 2% of the vote because how could you not vote for George Springer? And so he is tonight's Triple P. All right, really quickly, let's get back to your phone calls, and I'll just continue to give you some thoughts that I did earlier in the show on these two Monday Night Football games yesterday, but Want to get to your phone calls, 888-710-4476. Mac is in Delaware next up on the Pat Boyle Show. Is this Mac and Bear? What's going on, brother?
Yes, it is. Hey, man. Honor and a pleasure always to speak to you.
First of all, I want to thank you, man.
You know, you're my homie, and I appreciate you. But you know what? I got to admit something. You were right. Trevor Lawrence is not the man. Hey, you know what? He's actually affecting BDJ. And this is the problem. This is the problem with the Jaguars. They have the offensive line is just broke down. There's no pass rush. Trayvon Walker got a freaking bandage on his hand. He can't even do anything. We're not getting any pass rush. There's penalties all over the place. This team is pathetic right now. And you know what? I called it out a while back. I said we would be Kansas City. But you know what? These guys are celebrating it like they won the Super Bowl. Mm. You know what? You got to move on. Got to go next week and play. These last 2 weeks was crap, man. Total crap. And especially the crap I had to watch on Sunday morning. But another thing I wanted to tell you, my man, hey, I appreciate you and thank you for everything. And you know I always got to give you this. The original. You know, I am the original. And you know Max got your back. Thank you, my brother. You take care of yourself. I'll be talking to you soon.
That's right, baby. That's right, baby. Appreciate you, Mac. And preach, man. Preach about the Jags. Mac in Delaware, an OG listener of the network. He has been listening for years. Years. He's a big listener from the old morning show when it was DA, Damon Amendolara, and Mac and Bear in Delaware, one of my favorites over the last several years here. And that's a big Jaguars fan, and he did call it. He did say they were going to beat the Chiefs, but, I mean, he's right. And a lot of the times we kind of forget about the mental and emotional side of football. And what he said makes sense. A Jaguars team that was riding a 3-game winning streak and on paper, 3 impressive wins in a row, beating Houston, which doesn't look entirely impressive now, but it did at the time, beating the Texans, beating the Niners on the road, and then beating the Chiefs at home in prime time. 3 impressive wins in a row. And you know what? It felt like a team that got a little too big for their skis, a little too overconfident, and they got sloppy. And these last 2 weeks have been terrible to watch offensively. They only scored 12 points and they lose to the Seahawks at home. And then that slop in London on Sunday morning, 35-7 at the hands of the Rams. This is a team that needed a reality check and they've gotten one. And look, I've said for 2 years now, Trevor Lawrence is a bust, and he is not going to work out. And he's had some good games this year. He was great against the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. But, you know, you look at these last 2 games, even though he didn't throw an interception, I mean, he is so wildly inaccurate and inconsistent. It is crazy how off he is on some of these passes. And, you know, Mac is saying it's starting to affect BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr. He's got to get back on rhythm with him. He's got to get back. The chemistry they had last year was one of the only saving graces of a lost season, and that was a season in which Trevor Lawrence only played half of. But, yeah, look, Liam Cohen, yeah, I think there's still time for them to have a successful season and make the playoffs. I don't think they will, but there is still time. Liam Cohen looked like one of the best coaches in football 2 weeks ago, and now they've gotten knocked back down a couple of pegs. And so now they got to lift themselves back up here. And they're on the bye week, so you don't see them again until week 9. And coming off the bye, they've got 2 winnable games, both on the road, but at Las Vegas, who looks broken right now, and then at Houston, who also broken, and they beat them earlier this year. So there's still time to turn things around. They could easily be 6-3 in a couple of weeks from now. Really quickly, let's get to Rashawn in Baltimore on the Pat Boyle Show. What's going on, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Through all my 20 years of calling and listening to sports talk radio, man, I never heard a Jacksonville Jaguars fans call in. So,
hey, you know. they do exist. They're out there in New York.
Okay, man, interesting, man. But real quick, get to my Cowboys, man. A lot of people are not giving the Cowboys credit for that win over the Commanders because of all the injuries that the Commanders had.
They were up by 12 when Jaden Daniels got hurt. They were already blowing them out.
Yes, and we got CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb came back. Listen, that combination with CeeDee Lamb and Pickens, man, that's like one of the best wide receivers duels I've seen since maybe Chris Carter and Randy Moss, man. They out there balling. And Dak is playing at the MVP level with these second in yardage, second in touchdowns, number one in QBR, only like three interceptions. Mm-hmm. He definitely should be getting the MVP this year unless they jerk him like they did Lamar Jackson last year. But this Dallas Cowboys team, man.
And look, the thing is, he's basically having the season that Joe Burrow had last year, where Joe Burrow had an incompetent defense, and the Cowboys have an incompetent defense right now, and Joe Burrow had to put up 300, 350 yards with multiple touchdowns every single week just to keep the Bengals in it. And I think the fact that they didn't make the playoffs is the big reason why he didn't win it. And I know, you know, even then it was Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, but Burrow should have gotten a lot more consideration. And so if the Cowboys make the playoffs this year because Dak throws for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, he's got as good of a shot as Mahomes or Baker Mayfield to win the MVP. And you're right, man. He has been sensational. He has been tremendous. And that offense right now is scary. Look, Jerry Jones has got to make a trade. He's got to make a splash. They got to go get Trey Hendrickson at the deadline, or they got to go get the best available pass rusher.
Yes, I definitely agree. And if this Cowboys team finds its way to get in the playoffs, I don't think teams are going to see them with this offense. I know the defense sucks, man, but they can put up 40, 45 points, man. And it's going to be hard to – how do you guard Pickens and Lamb? Then you got Ferguson out there, Tolbert. Like, we got a running game this year with Javonte Williams. It's just going to be hard to stop the Cowboys, man. The league better pray that the Cowboys don't make it to the playoffs. That's all I'm saying, man, because if so, it could be that year. You know, I'm not going to leave it at that, Pat.
LaShawn, I'll let you go on that. I'll let you go on that, Rashawn. But that right there, those last 30 seconds, and I love Rashawn, but those last 30 seconds are why the Cowboys are one of the most delusional fan bases in football. You're 3-3-1. Your defense can't stop a nosebleed. And Dak Prescott in January is a different quarterback than Dak Prescott in the regular season. How many times do we have to see it? I think everybody wants to see the Cowboys in the playoffs because they know they're going to put up 40, and Dak's not going to play the way he does in the regular season. But I don't want to rain on the parade because he has been sensational, and he's a great regular season quarterback. But I hope he gets a chance to exercise all those playoff demons. But man, I think everybody wants to see the Cowboys in the playoffs. 888-710-4ISN, the phone number to join the show. 888-710-4476. When we come back, any last phone calls? And PB picks. Tough day for the boys. It was one of our first losing days in the last 2 weeks, but we will rebound. We've got NBA opening night to look at today. Two games. I've got some picks. Pete's got some futures bets. And we will start getting you ready for week 8 in the National Football League, which is almost upon us already. It's the Pat Boyle Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Final update of the morning. Here's Mark Obaletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Pat, just like the Joe Carter walk-off in 93, it was a three-run shot that helped lift the Blue Jays.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Left field and deep. A Rosarena turns. Gone! A Springer dinger!
George Springer, the go-ahead three-run blast as the Blue Jays upend the Mariners 4-3 to take the series in seven, mark their first trip to the World Series since 1993. Call courtesy of the Blue Jays radio network. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., your MVP, he had .385 with three home runs. Bullpen, 5 1/3 scoreless innings capped by Jeff Hoffman, who struck out the side in the ninth, as the Dodgers and Blue Jays will hook up in the World Series with Game 1 in Toronto on Friday night. Albert Pujols won't be the Angels' manager as talks have broken off. However, the Padres said to have interest in an interview, while the Orioles also said to be interested in speaking to Pujols as well. Pair of Monday Night Football games with Jahmyr Gibbs taking center stage.
Gibbs the back, the snap, the spin, handoff, Gibbs banking his way, spins in, breaks a tackle, touchdown Detroit. 5-yard touchdown run by Jahmyr Gibbs. His second touchdown run tonight. And he vaults the Lions on top of the Buccaneers, 20-9.
136 yards, two touchdowns for Gibbs. Lions roll the Bucs 24-9. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood 1. Jared Goff threw for 241 and a score. Baker Mayfield just 228 yards passing, one touchdown, one pick. Both teams now 5-2. Worse for Tampa, though. Mike Evans out for a large portion of the regular season, dealing with a broken collarbone. Seahawks turned it over four times, but able to recover nicely as they finished off the Texans 27-19. Sam Darnold, 213 yards, touchdown and a pick. Zach Charbonnet added two scores on the ground. Philly's getting Brandon Graham back as the 37-year-old will unretire, return to the Eagles for a 16th season. Titans release veteran wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Broncos linebacker Dre Greenlaw suspended one game for unsportsmanlike conduct towards an official after the game was over against the Giants on Sunday. In hockey, the Golden Knights too much for the Hurricanes 4-1. Jets handled the Flames 2-1. Montreal doubled the Sabres 4-2. Wild 3, Rangers 1, and the Flyers raced the Kraken 5-2. I'm Marco Belletti.
The PB boys are making you cash.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's PB Picks.
All righty. So look, at some point, me and Pete, we're going to have a losing day. We had been on fire. We post the picks every day. We track the picks every day. They're posted on my Twitter every single day. The Infinity Sports Network Twitter account, it's reposted. So you guys have seen the picks every day for the last 2 months since football season started. And I'm 20 games over 500. Pete's 6 games over 500. We had been on a heater. All good things must come to an end at some point. Yesterday, I gave out Lions minus 6. They win by 15. That was a winner. And then Baker Mayfield over 244.5 yards. He still almost got there despite, I think he had 75 passing yards at the half. He had 25 passing yards with about 5 minutes left to go in the second quarter. And yet still almost got there. Just unfortunate. Never got anything going in the first, 25 minutes of the game. He finished with 228. That was a loss. Jameson Williams, that's just a bad bet. I don't know what happened. I don't know why he wasn't in the game plan at all. At all. The deep ball threat. J-Mo, nothing. Not a catch in last night's game. That was a loss. His over 46.5 yards. And then I had the Texans plus 3. Again, just the wrong side. I thought coming off the bye, Houston would be able to do anything. Anything. Have any sort of an offensive game plan. But Nick Caley, I don't know what he did to get that job as the offensive coordinator. He is horrible. Horrible. Setting offensive football back decades. And I know the New York Jets are in the league with what they've done offensively this year. And yet, I want to rip my hair out of my head now if I have to watch C.J. Stroud and the Texans play in primetime again, because the defense is elite. And the defense is the reason why they scored any points at all last night. So that was just the wrong side. C.J. Stroud, he is regressing by the week. By the week. And they had two games where they blew out the Titans and they blew out the Ravens. And those are probably the most situational, fortunate spots they could have been in this year. They look terrible in the first 3 weeks of the season. And coming off the bye week, that's the type of game they have. So, shame on me. Texans plus 3 was a loss. And then Blue Jays Mariners over 7.5. George Springer hits the home run to get it to 7. And that was it. So, that was a loss. For Pete, he was on the right side. He had Seahawks minus 3. He had Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield 500-plus combined passing yards. They finished with 469. That's a tough loss. And then Pete was also on Mariners, Blue Jays over 7.5. We lose by the hook. All right, so we move on to tonight. Opening night in the NBA. Two games. Rockets at the Thunder. And then Warriors at the Lakers. Pete, you're not betting either of these games. You're giving out some futures bets. Let's hear what they are.
Yeah, there's no chance in the world I'm betting on game one of the NBA. I mean, they might be having rest days right now, too. I mean, so we're going to go with a couple futures. Let's go to the Eastern Conference. The Knicks, we've talked about them. We documented their run last year. I got them in the Eastern Conference final. I got them in as the Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals. We talked about the injuries to the Celtics and to the Pacers, so I got the Knicks at plus 275 to win the Eastern Conference. And then also the Cavs, who will be their contenders, they'll be good. They won't be as good as they were last year, I think. I have them under 55.5 wins for the total this season, and that's at plus 125. So two futures bets today from the body.
All right, I love it. By the way, the Cavaliers, 64 wins last year, 48 wins the year before that. That was the last year of J.B. Bickerstaff. In year one, Kenny Atkinson won 64 games, although they did manage to stay relatively healthy. And we know now more than ever, injuries play a massive role in the NBA season, especially all the torn Achilles that we've seen in the playoffs the last couple of years. But this would just be for the regular season. So Cavs under 55.5 wins, Knicks to win the East from Pete the Body. I love it. And earlier in the show, I gave out a bunch of awards futures and futures bets for the NBA, some predictions. You can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. I also have the Knicks winning the Eastern Conference. If not this year, Pete, I don't know if they're ever going to do it with this core. I'm hoping Mike Brown is the savior. I'm hoping this offense, there isn't going to be the stale pounding of the rock into the hardwood and the ISO. Mike Brown and the Kings had the most passes per possession. They played beautiful offensive basketball. Now he's got the stars to do it as well in Brunson and Kat. And Bridges hopefully has a bounce back year. No Jason Tatum, no Tyrese Halliburton. The Bucks, it's Giannis and a bunch of nobodies. No offense. It's the Knicks year. And I know the Magic are on the rise. I know the Hawks made some great offseason moves. And the Pistons have a young, scrappy team that gave the Knicks a lot of trouble last year. It's the Knicks' time, and Mike Brown's going to be the guy that leads him to the NBA Finals. All right, but I do have a couple of picks for tonight. I was surprised to see such a high total, and I know, again, modern-day NBA, the three-pointer, offense galore, right? But it's day one. It is game one. And you got two teams that are pretty damn good defensively. And I know the Rockets are going to take a step back defensively by adding Kevin Durant, and they're going to have a much better offensive team. They're also missing their point guard now in Fred VanVleet. So they're going to have to figure out who's going to play point guard for them this year. And that's going to be a combination of KD's going to operate as the point guard at some times this year. Amen Thompson's going to be their point guard. And then they've also got, you know, guys like Reed Shepard coming off the bench for them. But I think that's going to be a struggle for them without Fred VanVleet. So you got that, and they're still pretty good defensively. The Thunder are the best defensive team in the last couple of years in what they do. Give me the under. And it's game one, right? The guys are rusty. I know they played preseason, but it's going to be offense. It's going to be hard to come by. It's going to be an intense battle for game one opening night. Give me the under 227.5. And then for the late game, I like the Lakers tonight. Lakers plus 2.5, and Luka Doncic, to get a double-double at minus 140 odds. I think he could get a triple-double, but I like double-double at minus 140. All right, thanks to Pete the Body, thanks to Marco Belletti. We'll be back to talk about opening night in the NBA right here tomorrow at 2 a.m. Eastern on the Pat Boyle Show.